substantial number of Jews in Eastern Europe. Eventually, the Hasidic revolution would be so successful that it would the majority of religious Jews in Eastern Europe would subscribe to the Hasidic viewpoint and the Hasidic way of life, and it is one of the examples, as I'll discuss with you later, of the revolution that became the establishment, that was so successful that it became the establishment itself. The situation of the Jews in the 1700s in Russia and in Poland was one of dire poverty, of persecution. The Jews had not recovered from the terrible events of 1648 and 1649. The attitude of the Russian and Polish noblemen to the Jews was not just one of hatred, it was that the Jews didn't count. We have numerous recorded events where Jews were shot for target practice by Polish and Russian noblemen at banquets or at hunts. And a Jewish life had no value whatsoever. Just as in other areas of the world, or even in areas of our country at certain times, lives of certain minority groups, ethnic groups, had no value, and you could never be prosecuted for killing such a person. Well, you could never be prosecuted in Russia and Poland in the 1700s for killing a Jew. And therefore, you had a terrible deterioration, a physical deterioration of the Jewish population, especially among those Jews that lived in small communities. It's hard for us to imagine, but there were Jews that lived for centuries in small towns where there was not even a minyan. There were not even 10 Jews. And these people, these farmers, these Jewish peasants, would come into the city a number of times a year in order to participate in the davening. And we see this reflected in the tshuvas of the time, and in the halachas and the Shulchan Aruch and the words of the Achronim, and yet they retained their Jewishness, something which in the United States is inconceivable for us to think about the Jews who would live in a small town without a minyan and would be able to preserve their Jewishness generation after generation. Of course, it has to do a great deal with the non-Jewish population, but nevertheless, these were the facts. Shabtai Tzvi's debacle took a great toll amongst Eastern European Jews. And in fact, in certain parts of southern Poland, came under, for about 60 or 70 years, came under the domination of the Ottoman Empire in the late 1600s. And therefore, the Jews who lived there had even greater loyalty to Shabtai Tzvi. And in Poland there arose at the beginning of the 1700s another false messiah by the name of Jakob Frank, who founded a sect called the Frankisten and preached himself as the messiah, and eventually he and all of his followers converted publicly to Roman Catholicism. And Frank himself became one of the worst accusers of the Jewish people, such signing affidavits regarding the blood libel, that he knew that Jews need the blood of Christians, and all sorts of other things such as that. And that further demoralized the people. It further contributed to the impending spiritual destruction. There also arose at that time a great deal of dissatisfaction with the rabbinic leadership of the time. Even though there were great Talmidei Chachamim, great scholars, and in fact it was a generation of enormous scholarship, but the scholarship was localized.